Joy, it's good to see you. You snuck in. Within the verses that I'm going to be reading this morning, we will learn of a lawyer. He's a doctor of law, a scribe. He is a scribe who seems to question or challenge Jesus over a question about eternal life. Eternal life is the life that comes when believing and living as Christ. We know that things happen and prevent us from giving our full attention to our walk with Christ. It happens to everybody. These distractions need to be avoided in our Christian lives as we love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. Have we had any distractions this week? I had a few. The lawyer in the following story asks, "Who is my neighbor? Who shall I love and who shall I have concerns for? And are these neighbors from my church? Are they not Christians?" I bet he was wishing that it could not possibly be his enemies. Love your enemies? Oh my goodness, that is a distraction indeed. It's as though he certainly does not want to waste his love on others who do not matter to him. Love is never wasted, and we know that. The Jews of the time thought that only Jews could be their neighbor. A neighbor is a beloved person or group who is loved by God. A neighbor is a person chosen by God for his divine purposes. Jesus extends the definition of neighbor to people beyond racial or social boundaries whom you may encounter and who need help. I'm reading from Luke 10, starting at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Within that passage, it is an outsider who models the authentic discipleship. As we read further, we're going to learn of a Samaritan who is moved by compassion. He shows mercy in his actions. He loves actively and selflessly. I heard someone preaching this week on the television, and they shared, "Teach the gospel daily. If necessary, use words." Actions matter. Verse 30. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place, he saw him pass by on the other side. But the Samaritan, as he traveled, he came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have.' Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The teacher turns the questioning around and asks the lawyer, "Which of these do you think was the neighbor?" And the lawyer responds, "The one who showed mercy." And Jesus said, go and do likewise. It certainly does not seem that Jesus was angered or upset about the lawyer questioning him or testing him. Jesus was a pretty patient man. How do we feel or react when someone challenges us? Sometimes we feel threatened, sometimes anxious, sometimes curious, sometimes fearful, and sometimes thankful. Jesus was calm and confident as he shared the story of the Samaritan. You see, loving God is loving people. When a person dislikes someone, he or she is not truthfully following God. This is a poem by Gordon and Gladys Dupree. Beloved. There is a secure feeling about that word. When a person is beloved, it is a special kind of being. It is being loved. It is a past, present, and future kind of word that surrounds one with the warmth and comfort nothing can break or mar. The faults of a beloved person are smiled at by the person who loves, and the ordinary virtues seem good out of all measure. To be beloved is the rarest and most beautiful of gifts. To be beloved of God should be enough to make a saint of anyone. I wonder how many people in this world do not feel loved. Do not feel that they are a beloved person. Every person in this world deserves to be beloved, to be valued, to be loved deeply. Imagine going through life in this world and not being valued. And it's happening out there. Jesus teaches to break down these walls of hatred. We had talked about the walls of hatred last week. Jesus asks us to learn how to forgive our enemies, how to live in peace, how to truly receive spiritual blessings from our Lord, and then to give those blessings to others. The Good Samaritan risks his own safety to help someone in need. He did not walk away. He did not ask that person about his race, religion, monetary income. He acts like a neighbor. This good person loves God with all his heart, being, strength, and mind. He loves God out loud, through his words and through his actions. That's the beautiful lesson that we take away from this. A story from Guidepost. Turning toward meaningful living. Our pastor described the guest speaker visiting our church, a true visionary, and he was right. Vernon Brewer of World Help is taking the gospel from the forgotten to the forgotten people of this world. He explained to us the principle that guides such a daunting task. Every day I try to live my life in such a way that I accomplish at least one thing that will outlive me and last for eternity. That sure put a new spin on my Sunday afternoon to-do list. Should I attend the local tour of homes, or should I call a friend that recently lost her husband? God seemed to be telling me, if you accomplish only one eternity-minded deed every day, you'll change your life and the course of eternity. You don't have to do it all in one day. Just one thing each day. When I was growing up, we had a little plaque that was hanging in the entry of our house that read, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Over the years, I've forgotten the powerful simplicity of that maxim. But thanks to a true visionary, I'm remembering it afresh. Roberta Messner wrote that. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let's care for those in need, especially those who are broken or on the margins. Let's serve others, especially those in need. Let's serve them with grace. Let's pray for others, even those who persecute you. Mark 12:31. Love your neighbor as yourself. No commandment is greater than these. 1 John 4:19-21. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Practice and perfect loving God the most. By having the love of God in our hearts, we are able to love others just a little bit more. 1 John 4:19, we are able to love because he first loved us. I read while studying for this sermon, our love for each other is an indicator of the place God is holding in our hearts. Our love for him is revealed by our love for others. Because God has freely loved us, we are able to love others. Confusion and conflict occur when people love themselves or something else above God. Distracted people will totally believe that it is okay for them to hate because that is how he or she feels and that is right in his or her own eyes. Humans have a way of doing that. God loves us so much that he gave his only son. His blood washes over us. And we are to live as he lived. I challenge each of us to take a moment to think about the way we love others. Let's challenge ourselves to notice who needs help and how we can be motivated to act. And ask the Lord to give you more opportunities to love those who have been avoided or ignored. It's a big challenge. Know that God is in your heart. Know that he knows you are up to the challenge. It is something each of us can do this week. Mark 16:15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for the stories shared within the Bible and within our daily lives that help us to learn how to live and how to treat others. We ask for your mercy, your protection, your provision, for the vulnerable in this community and in this world. Help us to be a source of support and encouragement to all we know and to all that we meet. Thank you for the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of others, and we can do this because we have you in our hearts. Thank you so much for your presence in our lives. May your spirit continue to work daily within each one of us. In your name, amen.